What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is September 22nd. It is the final week of the fantasy baseball season. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Okay, so I am going to help as much as I can making your last minute decisions for your fantasy teams. And what's going to happen is we are going to shift from me reviewing yesterday to only reviewing that day's games starting on Wednesday. Why? Because yesterday's guys, well, they could still go later in the week. So we're going to start with Caden Dana. And this guy went 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks against the Rockies in Coors. Ooh, this was pretty good. 11 whiffs, 25% CSW, 89 pitches. Now, are we going to consider Dana for the Astros next? Caden is fine. It's a 95-mile-per-hour fastball, but has nothing under the hood that makes us excited. I don't really think that it's a pitch to trust. He actually was very wild with it in this one. 25% non-competitive rate, which means 25% of the pitches he threw were just not touched and easy takes for balls, which is awfully high. We normally see that under 10%. So I don't feel good about that. The slider is around where it needs to be. It's a decent pitch. And that's really the only reason I would be considering Caden Dana. As someone with a long leash, and that can be very hard to find on the last weekend of the season, with a slider that would work against the right-handed lineup of the Astros, you might have a very sneaky play. That is all I've got for Caden Dana. I don't think that this is a player who, in normal circumstances, I would be all for. I don't think he's worthy of a Toby label, just really as a desperate stream. And if you are chasing a quality start, and you're trying to find something that last weekend of the season, it could be Caden. That's the best I got for you there. Evan Sheehan dominated the Giants. 7 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 10 strikeouts, 17 whiffs, 37% CSW, 84 pitches. And if I knew for a fact that he was going in Seattle, yes, you're holding on, you're doing all the things. What's interesting about this is that he'd be going Sunday. And it's possible even that he could go Saturday. It's a 6-man rotation right now for the Dodgers. They could just shift it to a 5-man and say, you know what, Tyler Glasnow, you're going on Saturday. We don't want you to do that because we've got the playoffs ahead and we want you to rest because you're Glasnow and you go through all these things. So then that could mean Sheen even goes on Saturday and then they fill in Sunday with whatever they want, or they could just fill in Sunday with whatever, or Saturday with whatever they want and then leave Sheen on the same schedule. I don't know. At the same time, there is consideration for Emmett Sheen not to be outside of the rotation for the Dodgers. Right now it's Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow and Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Shohei Ohtani. And does Ohtani really need to be a starting pitcher? That's the question here. There was some conversation about him being open to the outfield to be a reliever. I don't know. And I do wonder what is going to happen with Emmett Sheehan next weekend. Also, let's say he does pitch on Sunday. Does Emmett Sheehan actually go 7 innings again? Does he go over 80 pitches? It's all very confusing. It is all just the most annoying thing about the baseball season is figuring out how long guys are going to go the last weekend, who is going to go. Good luck. And if you are deciding between Emmett Sheehan and someone else that has a defined start on Wednesday or something like that, go for them. Because banking on a Saturday or Sunday start at this point is just really, really difficult. Trevor McDonald, though, Trevor McDonald might be the stream of the season over this weekend. He might be the guy to get. Why? Because he gets Rocky Road. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants go, yes, we want you to do this, because he just went 6 innings of 1 earned run ball, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks against the Dodgers. What? Who is this guy? He throws curveballs, which are really sweepers with a little extra vertical drop, but they don't have like so much horizontal, and they don't have so much vertical that they don't know what to call it, but it's like 84 miles per hour. It's not like 77, right? So what I see paired with that is a sinker that the eye test said was like, oh my gosh, this is like 18 to 20 inches of horizontal movement, but apparently it's only 15 to 16. And the reason I thought it moved more is because the Dodgers, they were taking these swings on sinkers away from lefties, out of the zone, that you just don't normally see on sinkers. He struck out Otani with one. He allowed a hit to Freddie Freeman that was like, I want to say, a foot off the plate away. It was shocking. And it was good command. The curveball was down and in to lefties for Trevor McDonald, and the sinker was away. And against right-handers, the curveball was still kind of in that same spot. The sinker was more backdoor. He's doing what he wants for the most part. So you throw that against Rocky Road, especially that curveball, which should just go down and away endlessly against them. Yeah, that should work in Oracle Park. Oh my gosh. He threw 89 pitches. This is like a thing out of nowhere. Yeah, I would heavily consider that. And I would think that the Giants would throw him there. I mean, it's Webb, it's Ray, it's Verlander. And then it's Kaiwei Teng and Trevor McDonald. That seems like what it is. Trey Savage against the Royals did not do well. This was in Kauffman. So 4 innings, 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. And of course, you remember, Trey did so well last week. So what gives? Come on, he looked like a stud. He has his like 16 K per 9 in the minors. How did he do this? Well, it's actually not the thing that you would think. I am very much against splitter pitchers, guys who really lean on splitters. And that's been my biggest criticism of Trey, outside of the fact that the four-seamer is not a good shape four-seamer. It's really that he's just so focused on his splitter, and that was amazing in that game, that debut. But I also gave him props because he also has a slider that he can throw for strikes. And those were actually great. The splitter and the slider did exactly what you wanted them to do here. However, the four-seamer had a 36% strike rate. It's supposed to be like double that. So yeah, that was the problem. And as I always say, when you have a start that is surprising, when you have a guy underperforming or overperforming, the first thing you have to look at is what is the thing that is different than expected. And generally when guys underperform, it's some pitch that doesn't work well. So you have to ask yourself, okay, is this going to continue to work at this same level? No. He's not going to be a 36% strike rate guy at his four-seamer. That's just absurd. And now he's going to host the Rays in Toronto. And why that's so good is because that's a dome. And in domes, everything is just like the pitching lab, right? This is why Ryan Pepiot and company in Tampa Bay are really upset about the field of George Steinbrenner Field and are so excited for Tropicana next year, right? Things just work as they should in a dome. I feel like Trey Savage is going to have a good start here against the Rays, so I'm not moving on from him from this one. And then there's Connelly Early, and as I was just mentioning, it's really not fun pitching in George Steinbrenner Field because the mound is weird, pitches don't move as you expect them to, and after 2 starts, one in Sacramento, might I add, at least, and then one in Fenway for Connelly Early. Yeah, he was really off his rhythm here. 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. Still got 13 whiffs, but this was a shotgun blast of command. Everything was everywhere. So at the same time, right? And this was 67 pitches. The Red Sox recognized that he just didn't have it, and then he pulled him. So I actually would be fine going against Detroit in Fenway next time. I think he's going to be more comfortable in that one, so I would not get off of that one either if you have Connelly Early. All right, we are going to talk about today's games, tomorrow's games as well, and we're going to do that after this break. So for today, it's really just Michael McGreevy, right? I mean, we have 3 games that are being played. You start Chris Sale, you start Freddie Peralta, you start Nick Pivetta, and the probable start tier, it's Justin Verlander against the Cardinals. You want to do that in Oracle Park. And Mackenzie Gore against Atlanta, you might have some hesitation. I think that Mackenzie Gore stretched out long enough. You should do that. And then you have Michael McGreevy in San Francisco. That should be fine. That seems fine, right? He's a command guy. And it's not going to be a ton of strikeouts, even a quality start. Good ratios. It should be fine. But he's in questionable start because the ceiling isn't so high. No strikeouts. And the floor is bleh. Okay. Now, I'm going to go through all of Tuesday for you because why not? I'm not going to talk about Wednesday. For Wednesday and later in the week, that's what the list is today. The list today is not a ranking of pitchers just like this versus that. It is literally the ranking of each individual day for the rest of the week. Okay? It is the most helpful thing I can give you. So for the full rankings of Wednesday through Sunday, check out the list. It'll be published later today, probably around 6 o'clock or something like that, before the first game today, which is at 7:40 p.m. Okay? So you'll be able to make any moves, any all that kind of stuff before today's games and get your locked lineup and all that fun stuff. All right. So I'm going to go through every single starter today, sorry, for tomorrow. And that is Tarek Skubal at Cleveland. This is all the auto starts here. You have Christopher Sanchez against the Marlins, DeGrom against the Twins, Otani at Arizona, Logan Webb against the Cardinals, Bryce Miller. It is in the T, that is in Seattle. So, oh my gosh, it is Rocky Road in Seattle for Bryce Miller. My gosh, is that beautiful. And then you have Cole Reagans against the Angels. And the Angels strike out a ton. I know it was only 3.2 innings last time. He gassed up for the first inning, and then it fell down a little bit fine. But he still went about 70 pitches. And Cole Reagans should be able to go 75, 80 pitches here. Probably get you 5 innings. I mean, if you have Cole Reagans, you should just start him. Probable start here. Kevin Gausman in Toronto against Red Sox is a probable start. I was even tempted to put auto start just because I know that you guys are going to do it. But keep in mind that there is some risks here that isn't, it's a higher risk than it is in for all the auto start guys. I can't say a sentence. There's a riskier floor. Okay. You have Ryan Pepiot in Baltimore. That is the matchup we've been wanting Pepiot to have for a while, away from Tampa Bay against a non-elite lineup. Finally, it's in Baltimore. That's a good one. Gavin Williams has just been performing really well, so you're going to start him against the Tigers in Cleveland. Brady Singer is hosting the Pirates. I wish it was in PNC Park, but this is good enough for me with Singer looking the way he is. You have Luis Gil against the White Sox. I don't love where Luis Gil is at. He's throwing enough strikes, I believe, with his pitches. He just doesn't have that polish that we want to see. His floor isn't that low, though, and it's a good win chance. The White Sox aren't too scary. I'm going to go for that one. I'll also be at this game, which will be really fun, too. So, no, I think he should be starting Luis Gil. Zeppy Matthews is a stream pick of the day at Texas with 7% rostered here. It's at Texas. I know he has been very volatile, trust me, but it's a very good matchup for him, and he throws enough strikes that this really should work out. You have Hurston Waldrep against the Nationals. It's splitter focus. You know I don't like that. He has his ups and downs. It's against a left-handed lineup, and that means that the splitter has a larger margin for error, and it should do well against those left-handed Nationals. You have Cade Horton against the Mets, rounding out the probable start here, as Cade Horton has just done too well to say no. And the Mets, well, the Mets are a good offense, but then again, they're the Mets in the final week of the season, and you kind of see what they're going through. Questionable start here. You have Lucas Giolito against the Jays. We've seen him do well in Toronto, but his arsenal is not firing on all cylinders. You kind of get something messed up each start, and you don't know what you're going to get. So it's not a lock for that one. Christian Javier is in Sacro Verde, and he just had a decent start, but he's a piece. Poor execution, awesome stuff. You don't really know what you're going to get. It's so annoying. Is he going to locate his four-seamers enough? Is he going to have that changeup or the breaking balls? It's just, I don't know. Dean Kramer is Dean Werewolf, so good luck. It is a decent chance of a quality start, though, as he goes against the Rays in Camden. So you might want that one for those in quality start leagues. It is going to be difficult to find quality starts, especially the final weekend. So keep that in mind with all the guys that are going to get shortened or replaced, all that kind of stuff. It's harder and harder to find a good six inning start this week. Dean Kramer might be a guy you want to chase for that. Yoan Oviedo in Cincinnati, so Great American Ballpark, is only 4% rostered, by the way. He is a piece as well. Poor execution, awesome stuff, like Christian Javier, right? Or even Zebby Matthews, of course. And I don't hate it. Like, he hasn't had the worst floor, but he really hasn't exploded for a great outing. And, you know, he could allow a few home runs and could just feel like, why did I do this? Jeffrey Springs versus Houston. It could be sunshine and rainbows, but it is Sacro Verde. It is a right-handed lineup, though, so that means the changeup could really work out well. I don't really want to do. You have Brad Lord, who has done decent over the last three starts, and he just had a surprisingly okay game against Atlanta. That is the best I can give you there. He's questionable because David Peterson and Fott are going against good lineups. So it's the Cubs for Peterson and Fought gets the Dodgers. Fought just did really well, but it's the Dodgers. You really can't. And Peterson gets the Cubs, and Peterson has been just all kinds of, like, what are you going to expect? So Brad Lord, at least, like, sure, maybe he can get his sinker inside and get his secondaries away, and that could be okay. And then do not start here. You have Shane Smith, who is of consideration, but he would get the Yankees, and I just don't think that's going to go well for him. You have Eric Cabrera against the Phillies, and you might be surprised to hear Eric Cabrera's name. I was, because I thought he was just going to be done. He had a right elbow flexor sprain, and it's just, yeah, that means you're out for a while, right? No, he's apparently rehabbed, and he threw 50 pitches with the team last week. What? So I guess you're at like 60 pitches? That's a still ill. It's possible he's efficient enough. He's not really been the poster child for efficiency, but still, it's possible this goes okay. Yeah, don't start it. I mean, you're thinking to yourself, wait, hold on, Nick, that's the 25th. There can't be five other guys that are worse than this. Well, let me tell you. Randy Vasquez against the Brewers. You don't want to do that. Sam Aldegari against the Royals. What are we going to get there? Nothing. Bruce Zimmerman against the Padres. Oh, gosh, that's a low floor. Andre Pallante at all? I mean, yes, it's in San Francisco, and there is some chance he theoretically has a higher ceiling than those other three, but the floor is lower. He's just been so bad. And then you have McCade Brown, the Colorado starter in Seattle. At least it's not in Coors, but come on. It's a Colorado pitcher. You don't want to do that. All right, that is it for today. Good luck this week. For your very team-specific questions, remember, I live stream every single morning on playback.tv/pitcherlist, okay? I live stream right there for you to answer all your specific questions from 10 a.m. Eastern Time to 12 p.m. In the morning. Come on by. Come hang out. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.